Hi, welcome to Vision Destiny 2021. I'm reviewing some of the things so far in 2020. What has God said? What has God done? What has happened? And how does that relate to going forward in 2021? February the 10th, the Father said, "Son, a storm is coming naturally in the world, but an even greater storm is coming spiritually. I've warned you about this shift, and this storm is part of it. A storm of grace and a storm of opposition to grace." And I think that's the spiritual dynamic, that when the amazing lavishness of the limitless grace of God gets released, religion always responds against it. And I think the restoration of all things message is a message of grace, and there's opposition to that. That is the spiritual storm. But obviously the physical storm, the shift, we're in a world where things have hugely shifted and changed, and we're still in the midst of it right now. But we can find within him there is a bigger picture and a bigger purpose to all this. "This will be a wild storm that will shake the world, so make sure that you stay in rest in the midst of opposition with a loving, forgiving heart. Only love has the power to overcome, but that love must be true and unconditional to have such power. True love, that is a full representation of who we are, is the only reality that can change and transform an enemy into a friend. Son, we have no enemies, and all things that we created are loved, and that love will eventually win over all, as it will never relent in its pursuit of restoration. Only those with gentle and humble hearts can know true love, and truly love unconditionally. Only those who come to me, recognizing and admitting that they are weary and burdened, can enter into true rest from their self-effort. Many seek me in their own DIY way, but will never find me through their religious efforts. But as soon as they give up, there I am. I am using this shift to move our children from independence to relationship, but only surrender can facilitate that. Son, bless those who bless you and bless those who curse you, and many who now curse you will respond to your heart of love. Love will win because love has won. Love endures. It will never cease because I am is love. And that is the love between I am. I am can never cease to be love. Therefore, love is eternal. And the eternal substance that is the light and substance of creation. The shining of love's light will eventually overcome all opposition to restore all things. Son, open the doors to the dimensions for others to follow with love's light as oracles to reveal our true character and nature. A lot of what I do is a door opener for others to go beyond and do more than I can do. And I want to open the door by sharing my testimonies of the stories of my encounters and the things that have happened, particularly to do with restoration and all of the things to do with that, to inspire others to take their part and to find their part in restoration of creation as sons of God. As the sons of God arise, so will the awareness levels of creation to restoration. Love's light brings hope where it rises and shines. The frequency of sonship is beginning to cross the barriers and boundaries of creation with the hope of restoration. Now this hope must become reality. I am is calling to the sons with the sound of freedom's hope for restored identity and position. Creation's longing is coming to an end now that the darkness is being overcome with the light of love's light. The revealing of grace as limitless, abundant, and free is going to create ripples throughout the dimensions. Son, be bold and very courageous in the face of the opposition from those in religious bondage to fear. 11th of February. Son, look into the eyes of your Father. What do you see? Now, when the Father asked me to do this, obviously you know something is coming. But nothing can really prepare you from what happens when you go into something deeper of the Father's nature, of his character. And what I saw, I said, I see love, fiery, passionate love. And that's what I felt. It's more a feeling than a seeing. You know, it's like you look, but you perceive, you engage. Go deeper, the Father said. What do you see? I see a burning, all-consuming desire. Go further into the depths of the fire. I felt it, the intense joy that is becoming stronger, almost painful in its intensity. Now, at this point, I realized that what I was going deeper into was the oracles of the Father's heart. Passion, burning desire, and intense joy. Son, come deeper into the fire with us. I felt the depths of compassion that moves and motivates all the Father's actions, even to discipline those you love, so that they can be healed and restored to wholeness. The Father disciplines his children, not punishes, not tortures, not torments, but disciplines to correct and to train and to restore and make whole. Son, it is painful living in each moment with each child when they are living less than who we know them to be. God is both transcendent and within the now, and therefore knows the beginning and the end, and everything's at rest, at peace, and everything's good, and everything's love. But God chooses to live within the quantum packet, the moment, the smallest packet of time, within every moment of every being, and live and experience their reality. And therefore he can empathize and he can feel from that perspective, and therefore he can be surprised from that perspective. And it feels like that he's let go his omniscience, in one sense, to live in our moment and to feel and to engage with us. Of course he's always omniscient within the realms of the eternal now, but he's chosen to engage in the moment. Son, come deeper into the flames that burn within us. I felt it, I saw it, I knew it. Love, amazing, overwhelming love. A love so powerfully passionate with burning desire that it can never stop, even when all is restored. Love is the fire that will consume all in its way to restore all things to their rightful intended position within I am as love. So all can once again know true, invincible, unstoppable, unrelenting love. February the 13th, I choose to accept the invitation that the Father gave me to come into the dark cloud of perfection. Now, the Father says things. I don't know what they mean, but I know that it was always going to be something good, although sometimes these experiences are extremely intense and can take quite a while to come to terms to, or to outwork the full effects of the experience, because a lot of the experiences are spiritual experiences that are not always cognitive. They're not always able to be understood, but they are so amazing and so wonderful, and they continue to go on changing and transforming. So I was invited to come into the dark cloud of perfection. Now, I've been into that dark cloud before. When soul and spirit got separated and reintegrated, I went into that dark cloud and I saw the Father's face for a split second. And I've been, I think, once or so following that. But this was an invitation and I accepted the invitation. So I stepped. Then, you know, how do I get into that place? Well, I just went back to where I was before when I went into there. I stepped into the river of fire by the throne of the Ancient of Days that was flowing down by the firestones. And I just began sinking into that fire deeper and deeper. And as I was doing so, it was like I was surrendering my whole being to the purifier, the purifying fire of his love, that deep compassion that he has for each of us. I felt the fire going through my being, spirit, soul, body. An intense burning desire came over me. So I moved towards the firestones, but this time I started at the top and went down each step, humbling myself under the Father's mighty hand until I stood on the step of love, on the firestone of love, and I stood there intensely overwhelmed by that amazing love. And then all the oracles of God began to come around me and started to go in me and through me like five wheels within wheels, activating my five senses until I became tuned to the frequencies of those oracles at another different level. I heard the call and I responded by birthing a firestone from my innermost being. Now, the Father, on the previous time I walked on the Father's firestones with the Father told me that there would be three more firestones that we, mankind, would birth. And this was, you know, me, I think, demonstrating that this is possible if we engage at a deeper level of love. Now, I'm not saying that I did this. I'm saying I think I was a representative of mankind and sonship. And as sons are coming into their positions of government and into their identity in God, it is unveiling and releasing a new season, a new time, a new stone, a new position. So I ascended each stone until I stood on the 10th stone, and immediately I was shrouded in darkness that welcomed me in. The deeper I went, the more thick and overwhelming it felt, until I was at the matrix of perfection. Yeah, and again, this is something that I'm just trying to describe in words, but those words are just not really capable of expressing something. So I'm expressing what I knew to be true in a way that I can through words, but there's so much more to it than that. I stepped in and waited until I felt the desire to enter rise up in me. I didn't presume. I stepped through the matrix into an atmosphere of pure love and light that was so rich that I gasped and breathed deeper. It felt like everything was in ultra slow motion. Each moment intensified like it was a lifetime. My whole being as light began to pulse rhythmically, but each beat felt like an age. This is something I have experienced again further. And again, some of these experiences give you insight into something that's possible. And later on, you know, I needed to do some things of restoring some things that were resistant. And it felt like I don't have time, you know, but in a sense, we don't have to be limited and framed by time, because one moment can be an age. So I learned to be able to engage a moment that would actually reflect months, which meant that what I could do in that moment was what I could do in months. And that enabled me to engage in restoration in a way that I'd not done before. But this was my introduction to that. Everything was so slow and drawn out that it was like I was suspended in that moment, experiencing all that there is to savor before the next beat sort of imperceptibly just drew my whole being into a sink, a rhythm of moving within that being, within that place, within that position, I guess, within God himself. Then I felt movement, vibrating, but flowing slowly towards a point of light that eventually captivated me with an overwhelming sense of expectancy. Remember, I'm in darkness, but that darkness is not really darkness. It is so illuminating in one sense, but not necessarily to the mind in a leaning to your own understanding sort of way. The light enveloped me, so I was within it and it was within me. I was captivated by the light of love's truth, pure energy, pure thought, pure oneness, in this realm of pure light. Now, when I'd been here before, I was not able to be in that light. The Father protected me, but now this light was just such an amazing place to be. A realm, really. And I felt movement, you know, and you know, I moved towards it. I was both within and observing from without, simultaneously seeing, hearing, sensing, knowing, just being, just one facet. And then another and another. And I was drawn out of myself, but also still within it. It's such a strange experience. But it was a really powerful experience that was part of this process of equipping me and enabling me to connect to creation and with the passion that God has for restoration. I looked intently, focusing my whole being on the beautiful exquisiteness of the face of my Father, where all frequencies of light energy are shimmering, gently humming, throbbing with an intensity of love's light. I fell to my knees, undone, ruined, in total abject surrender, where my whole being was spaghettified into all things, and all things becomes absorbed into the living light energy strings within my being. It connected me to creation again in a way that was really difficult to describe, but I really felt it. I've connected to this before, but never at this level. I began to feel the oracles, but this time I was the pentatonic scale, each note sounding, vibrating, resonating, love's essence. That moment was like a slowly drawn out moment representing the eternal age of perfection. This was such an intense experience, but it then led me to pursue restoration in a more proactive way. So on the 17th of February, I stood with my crystal scepter, the sign of my ambassadorship, before the Council of 70 to make representation on behalf of the Joshua generation and creation for the restoration of all things. And I wouldn't do this lightly, and I don't think I would have done it without that experience. I sought for the increase in those crossing over into the heavenly realms and for the messages of restoration that would go to each stream of thought and that are being connected to restoration. Crossing the boundaries of the four streams, that the stream's banks would be broken and a convergence would begin to take place, that there would be this convergence of all the streams into one mighty river. The council gave their approval and released their verdict as a ripple through all the heavenly realms and dimensions of space-time. They gave me the crown, which gives me access to my throne in the heaven of heavens, and I took my place there. My experiences had brought a new position, a position where I could be seated. I think this was as a result of the new step on the firestones that took it, my throne, up to a different level. And then, of course, I began to legislate. I began to make pronouncements and declarations. I call for the truth of restoration to invade each stream. I call for angelic messengers to visit those in each stream who are ready for deconstruction. I call for the lightning bolts of heavenly truth to penetrate the closed minds to prepare them for the truth. I call for the unveiling of restoration to be joined with the revelation of the mystic and the eschatological truth. I call for the grace necessary to remove the veils of darkness covering the minds of those blind to restoration within each stream. I call for the season of grace to come into position and greater grace to launch this season with limitlessness. I was seated on my throne in the heaven of heavens, and from there I could see from a new perspective. So having legislated, I began to look. What could I see? What could I perceive? What could I engage in? I saw spiritual beings in opposition to the restoration within each stream. I asked for a mandate to engage them. I received the mandate, but I had to deal with the third angel of fear first. I still hadn't dealt with that angel from before. So I saw a strategy for dealing with it in love. Love from the realm of light would be the key to its restoration, and I needed to absorb that light. I stepped into the realm of light and love and absorbed the light energy to activate my energy gates. I find that when I engage fallen angelic beings, it requires a lot of energy. They draw, and I have to overshadow with my spirit and with light, and it requires a lot of activated energy to do that. So I went to the cosmic bench to engage the two angels who were there, now restored, to stand with me. And they engaged with me, and I call for fear to come to the light of the three. It circled slowly until standing before us. I released forgiveness, which was rejected, that began to a dialogue to offer restoration. I drew closer, released the truth of the light realm as a burst of love that overwhelmed it. And then I saw the opening to overshadow it with intimacy as I encompassed it with my spirit. I felt its fear, but now armed with perfect love, from my encounter in perfection, it cast out the fear. The light of love had overcome the scales of darkness, and they just flew off, and beauty emerged. A feminine light being of amazing beauty. What a celebration I felt throughout the heavens, and the three joined to form an amazing connection, and a sacred geometric pattern of such depth and complexity. This was such a sight. Again, difficult to describe what that happened when they came together. I commissioned them to engage the benches opposing restoration in each stream with the hope of their restoration. And I believe we need to work together to see the restoration of all things. And sometimes there's a time when they need to be kept back and when they need to be hidden. But there are times when we need to work together and find a strategy. Now, just because I commissioned them doesn't necessarily mean an awful lot unless the Father's heart is in it. Son, you've done well. Keep up the pressure and passion for restoration within your own heart. This is not a season. This is who you were created to be. So without fear, seated above, administrate restoration as an ambassador of that message. February the 18th. Son, the restoration message is to become your primary focus beyond engaging God. From the oracles of our heart, you will be empowered to legislate and engage the powers in the kingdom of God realm and the elementals in the dimensional realms. Generating and releasing the frequencies of the oracles will extend your boundaries beyond, so your focus will shift from preparation to legislation and government with others. And it's so wonderful that I've been able to engage with others in legislation in a group of three, in a group of seven. It's been so awesome. I was seated in the realm of perfection. Take your seat in our government and look at all the dimensions from this perspective. What do you see? Now, again, I'm looking, but I'm not looking with natural eyes. I'm looking with a way, almost like looking at wavelengths, looking at patterns of energy or lack of. I mean, it's a strange thing. I saw the frequencies of rest in sonship. I saw what sonship was producing. They were crossing the dimensional matrices at a quantum level. You know, sometimes we look at things from a natural level and we can't see, but underneath there's so much going on. Swirling energy, carrying the message of hope for restoration through the veils of darkness, radiating love's light. I saw the creational realities beginning to be transformed as the freedom of sonship begins to impact the elementals. It's just the beginning. Now, son, you can see, you can choose those realities and legislate for them to increase and expand beyond through every level and dimension. I call, and again, now I began to legislate. And moved by what I saw, what I felt, what I perceived, I guess, more than seeing it as a visual expression, but it's beyond too complex almost to see with natural eyes. I call the sons to arise and take their places with you from all the streams of restoration. I call into the mystic stream for sons to arise and take their positions of legislative authority. I call into the universal stream for the sons to arise and take their positions of legislative authority. I call into the eschatological stream for the sons to arise and take their positions of legislative authority. I call into the energy healing stream for the sons to arise and take their positions of legislative authority. I expanded my spirit over the four streams, gave access to my frequency, to call the sons to relational connection. I call for the banks of the streams to break and the rivers to flow, to merge into one flow of interaction and cross-pollination of relationship. I call for the convergence of the four streams into one mighty river of restoration. I reached out with my spirit to bypass the restrictions and limitations of the closed minds, to touch the spirit of sonship within those who are major ambassadors of the four streams, forerunners within those streams. Father said, son, look for an opportunity to connect and share with certain people, to open dialogue, and I've looked to do that. Son, I have called you to legislate as an ambassador. Shift your focus, spend more conscious time seated in the heaven of heavens, where you will have greater insight and greater capacity. Son, you can also prepare Vision Destiny 2021 each month. That will keep your focus up to date. And this is why I'm sharing this now. Usually, you know, I have all my journals and at the end of the year, I begin to put them into PowerPoints. But actually, I've been doing that all the way through this year. So now, even halfway through the year, I'm able to share them. But I did it because the Father gave me this mandate. You are ready to engage with those in opposition to restoration, both in the spiritual and physical realms. Love's light will shine in you and from you to illuminate your spheres of influence, but also expand beyond to remove the darkness, restoring it back into light and revealing the truth to those shrouded by darkness in their minds. I engaged with the realm of light again, so I could more easily recognize the absence of light, which was operating beyond the visible wavelength. It was like I was seeing where something wasn't, if you like. It was almost like shadowing something, hiding something, and I couldn't see it. So I tuned my senses to different frequencies, and it was like I was to detect the darkness, which I felt rather than saw, if you like. So I scanned the spiritual atmosphere of the kingdom of God, that realm where there are dragons, giants, and kings, and various figurative descriptions of beings that are hindering and trying to oppose our government as sons of God. And I began to scan that atmosphere to detect the voids that indicated where access portals were located, where there were points of weakness, I guess. Those voids were across the dimensions, pockets of darkness like vacuums, drawing the light like a magnet where opposites attract and swallowing it up. Now, can darkness swallow up light? Not in one sense, but this is figuratively talking about how spiritual opposition hinders and opposes our sonship. And actually, I've been to one of those voids out into the cosmos, and I'll share that much later on. So I detected the void associated with restoration, and I chose to engage it. By activating my energy gates to a greater level, that created a field that matched the frequency of the void in the opposite. It's like I could not penetrate that field, so I had to find a way. And it was almost like, you know, and I'm into science fiction and stuff. So it was like, you know, sort of syncing, sort of harmonics that enabled you to cross through a field. I felt greater intensity of the opposite spirit. You know, in this case, love's light for restoration. It was activated by those five oracles. So whatever I was feeling in opposition, I had to come in the opposite spirit. I can't come in the same spirit. If there's an absence of something, I must come in an overwhelming presence of something. So I engaged the darkness by feeling. It was like an area of sensory deprivation. I felt it once before when I first went into a place of darkness. It was a total absence of passion expressed, is total apathy. I mean, it's such a terrible place. A complete absence of desire expressed as total aversion, a complete void of joy expressed as deep depression, a total absence of compassion expressed as severe vengeance, a total absence of love expressed as deep hatred and fear. These are the opposites to the oracles, and that is what these beings are seeking to cause, to be motivated within God's people, within God's children, to keep them in division, in separation, in competition, in conflict, rather than in peace, in love and harmony, as God intends. Those feelings were the exact opposite of the oracles, and was a dark cloud that was keeping the message of restoration hidden. But not just hidden, but opposed with such anger and hostility. So I withdrew from that void, but armed with the insight I needed to overcome the darkness with the frequencies of sonship using the pentatonic scale of rotating energy fields of the Merkaba, shifting harmonic frequencies like a shield. So all that experience brought me to a place where I felt I needed to deal with those things, but I still wasn't sure how. And the father said this, "Son, I have this to give you." "What is it?" I said. "It's a mystery." So this is a bit funny, isn't it? A bit cryptic. You want to give me a mystery? I was thinking, it's like, why would I need a mystery, father? Trust me in this. Okay, I will receive this mystery. And I had really no idea what he really meant. The father placed the mystery over me like a cloak or a mantle, like a cloud. But it completely shielded me from view. It was really, again, a strange thing. And I wasn't sure what this was. This was authority. It was a cloak. But it was more than that. It was a dimension. It was a realm or something that I was in or was around me. It felt like an energy field that surrounded me, but also light that shines inwards, absorbing illumination. I mean, it was a strange thing. I felt wisdom and knowledge and might. It felt like some of the seven spirits of God seemed to be involved. It felt like I was clothed with the seven spirits of God. I had seven eyes, so I could see dimensionally. I had seven heads, an increased consciousness, capacity and authority. Now, no one would really be able to fathom this, including myself. It was symbolic. I thought, well, they don't really have seven heads and seven eyes. No more than Jesus has seven heads, eyes and horns, whatever. But it felt real. Even if it looked surreal and I felt it was pretty weird, but it felt like there was purpose in it and it felt somewhat, well, good, really. So I thought I needed to test it out. So I seated on my new throne in the heaven of heavens and I looked to see with the seven eyes. Again, I saw the voids, but this time clearly, and how they formed a dimensional image like an inverse fractal. I went to the restoration void, passing through the shield harmonics as if they weren't even there. And I saw the three fallen beings. They were the ones responsible for leading those who were in opposition to the restoration of all things message. It wasn't just three beings. These represented whole orders of strategy within the enemy's plans and purposes. But I felt no intimidation after my encounters with the light. And now I was clothed with the mystery like a dark cloud, but actually light, but not as I'd seen it before. I spoke in a way that I'd never done before, able to communicate my deepest desire for restoration, forgiveness, oneness to the three who were knotted together like a Trinitarian knot. I overshadowed them with the mystery. All the light I had observed burst upon them. They were filled with love's compassion, love's passion, burning desire for their restoration. I was just releasing what I'd experienced. The void was filled with an intensity of love's light that absorbed the darkness there, and there were the three most amazing, beautiful beings of light. Now again, this didn't happen in an instant, in a moment. It was like that moment was drawn out, but at that point, I didn't know how to do that, but I think that was what was happening. They asked if they could stay in the mystery until they were ready. Ready for what, I thought, asked, because they already knew my thoughts. To be disconnected, to become how they were created, three, but governmentally and relationally one. So they needed to go through some sort of process, I guess. I said yes, even though I would need to meditate on what that really meant, and I did. I went back to my throne where I could not see them, but I felt them within the mystery. They weren't within me, but they were in that mystery, that dark place. It felt like I'd created a safe house of sorts, an underground railroad for escaping fallen ones. It was like, here's a place that they cannot be observed, but it's a safe place for us to engage them and to see them restored. Now, I know this sounds really weird, and, you know, I've got no more than my experiences of this to share with you, and I'm not saying you have to believe this or receive it, but maybe just ask God to show you for yourself. Take you through the process. We'll take you into your position of sonship where you can do whatever it is he's calling you to do. But I know this is a mandate. This is my destiny. So on the 24th of February, the son said, it's time to legislate for greater grace for the Engaging God program to reach the Joshua generation and become more effective in discipling to sonship. Take your place and remove the barriers and open the doors to reach those beyond the valley of decision. You know, so many people trapped in religion who just don't know the truth, but their spirit is moving in them and they need to be drawn out. Extend your boundary into the religious institutions to open eyes and hearts to their destinies. Son, your heart has changed and will continue to change as it is motivated by the oracles, so you can be an oracle of greater grace. I went to the court of kings and I took my place at the bench and I was inspired. I felt I need to produce some legislation here. This is so important that there needs to be legislation on record within the statute books of heaven that others can participate with. So I focused my heart on limitless greater grace, because I know we're going to need limitless grace. It talks about grace upon grace, greater grace, but I want to see limitless greater grace, if you know what I mean. So I felt inspired to produce the law of limitless greater grace. Here it is, the context. The increasing grace needed to open those enslaved to religious systems. Permissions of this law. You are authorized to remove the limitations placed on God's grace and mercy by religion. You're authorized to reveal the true reality of God's love expressed through the oracles. You're authorized to reveal the true reality of God's love so it can be expressed through the oracles. You're authorized to scandalize the lack of true grace within the religious systems. You're authorized to expose the works-based old covenant mindsets that religion uses to enslave people. You're authorized to reveal the greater grace is unrestricted, unlimited, and limitless in its ability to reveal the love of God. You're authorized to unveil the lavishness of grace that abounds to overcome the lost identity that religion perpetuates. You're authorized to challenge the religious mindsets with the outrageous grace that reflects the oracles of the heart of a holy, loving Father towards his children. You're authorized to reveal examples of limitless grace from the cloud of witnesses. You're authorized to assign legions of messenger angels to demonstrate limitless grace to the most undeserving in religion's eyes. The jurisdiction for this? Creation. Consequences and awakening in the religious institutions and extreme opposition from the religious and political spirits. Great. But I went through the authorization process, took the law into my heart, synchronized it with the cloak of mystery. Son, if you're not criticized by religion, you've not gone far enough to reveal our true love. Then the Father asked me to engage John Newton, the ex-slaver who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, to collate limitless grace examples so I could hear their stories. I began to legislate from the throne of mystery within the heavens of heavens, as I could see the absence of grace as pockets of darkness shrouding the minds of the enslaved. I called for the light of truth to penetrate the religious institutions to unveil the full extent of God's love. And I want to make this declaration. And I encourage you, if you feel that you have a call to this, that you're called to bring people out of darkness into light and all of those things, then just take that law, take these declarations, resonate with them if you feel that that's what you want to do, and then make these declarations your own. Use them, make your own declarations, begin to do these things. So I'm just going to release that. I want to encourage you just to close your eyes. I call for the light of truth to penetrate the religious institutions to unveil the full extent of God's love. I call for the frequencies of sonship through the pentatonic oracles to resonate and destroy arguments and resistance to limitless grace. I call for the cloud of witnesses to reveal stories of the extremes of grace. I call for songwriters of the religious systems to be inspired to write limitless grace songs to new generations of enslaved and slavers, just as John Newton had done. I call for angelic legions to go forth to execute limitless grace acts. I call for limitless grace. I call for the oracles of the Father's heart. I call it forth. I call it forth. And as this went on, I went into the consuming fire of God's loving presence, and I called for the worst of the worst to come forth. I preached deep compassion of the loving Father to them. I assigned angels to visit the worst towards all areas of society and culture with acts of extreme limitless grace. You know, both this side and that side of the veil, the limitless grace of God needs to be experienced. It was just an amazing thing. And then February the 25th, the Son, the restoration of all things, message needs demonstrations of limitless grace that will testify to the reality of the oracles of our hearts. The testimonies can come from both sides of the veil, beyond and beyond, so gather those testimonies from those dimensions. I will open up the connections needed to collate these beautiful stories and love's light, restoring the lost and broken, fragmented children. The mystic realm is where to begin, as there's so much recorded, but you will need to engage to meet these dear sons. Julian of Norwich, Jane Lead, Origen, Gregory, Athanasius, Arrhenius. John Newton has been at work and has many storytellers for you to meet. I think so often the cloud of witnesses carries such a pure sense of this now that can be so helpful to us. Limitless grace must be scandalous and outrageous to the religious mindsets, but joyful to the sons of God who are resonating with the oracles of our heart. I went to the court of the upright, where I met John Newton, who brought so many souls before me, all beaming, shining with joyful exuberance, waiting to tell me their grace stories. And I will share what happened to that in the next session. It was the most overwhelming experience to feel what they felt. You know, I'd experienced those who'd felt the oracles of the Father's heart with Jesus. You know, when I shared that previously, where, you know, I engaged those who met with Jesus, those who experienced that amazing love, the leper, Lazarus, who had died, you know, the woman who washed his hair, the Samaritan woman at the well, the Apostle John. You know, I share, those are intense experiences that I guess were preparing me for these experiences, to hear the stories of amazing love, overwhelming grace. I mean, totally undeserved from our perspective, but for God, he loves his children. His grace is limitless towards his children. And I'll share some of those next time. So I just want to finish again with this declaration that God, who God is. I am that I am, and I am is love. I am love, and love is I am. Love is who I am, and love is the motive of every desire, thought, and action. I am that I am, and I change not. I have always been and always will be love, as love is an eternal constant. And we can rely on that, and we can enter into it, so we can live loved. Love living, live loving, and live from a place of rest, inspired and motivated by the Father's heart and the oracles to be an oracle of that rest. So I just encourage you, just live loved, love living, and live loving.